We bring in ESPN.com's Brad Edwards, BCS guru. Brad, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on Overtime.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Well, we've already had some listeners that have called in and given us questions to ask you. So we'll start with the first one. How can Kent State get demolished by Kentucky but yet have a chance to possibly get in a BCS bowl game?
Well, I think it starts with just kind of the dynamics of being a voter and filling out a ballot. I can tell you I do it every week for our ESPN.com top 25, and you get to a certain point, and it's usually after 15, where you kind of get lazy, and you just start looking for teams, and you know what? The rest of these teams don't deserve to be there, so I'm just going to reward some smaller conference teams for having a good season. And when you start doing that, every now and then, you know, you don't take the time to really look closely at those teams. And I would bet you there are a whole lot of people who are putting Kent State in the top 20 on their ballots that have no idea who that one loss came to or by how much it came. And maybe they'll look at that this week. You know, maybe all the attention that this is getting will cause them to reevaluate some of those non-AQ teams and where they're ranking them. That's a possibility. But if those ballots don't change, then I think it's really just a matter of, you know, Kent State winning that MAC championship game on Friday night. And if they do, they need to hope that later that night UCLA loses to Stanford. And if on Saturday Texas loses to Kansas State, and UCLA and Texas, by the way, are both, you know, pretty significant underdogs. If those losses happen, then I don't think there's anything stopping Kent State from getting to the top 16 and more than likely taking a BCS spot away from Oklahoma.
When you got an SEC team playing in the national championship game, does that mean two SEC teams can still play in a BCS game or just one?
Yeah, just one. You know, like last year with two SEC teams playing in the national championship game, that meant there were no spots in the other BCS games for the SEC. And now you look at this year with the six teams ranked in the top 10 from one conference, and not only does it seem ridiculous to have that rule where you can't have more than two teams from any league, but you start to run out of options for, you know, for the other games, because teams have to be ranked in the top 14 to be eligible, and there are barely enough spots left in the top 14 once you remove all the extra SEC teams. And so that's kind of what they're up against this year. If Oklahoma were to lose at TCU this week, there aren't very many options for the Sugar Bowl. If Kent State doesn't get in there, they might get stuck taking Clemson, which you know, just coming off of what looked like a pretty bad loss to South Carolina, considering that everything that was at stake in that game and how poorly Clemson played.
Yeah, the ACC goes 0-4 against the SEC this past weekend. Brad, when you look at the Notre Dame-USC game, I'm sure there was a big sigh of relief across the country, because had USC beaten Notre Dame, there's Florida after their win at Florida State waiting on the SEC championship winner, another SEC versus SEC national title game. Is that the way you had it figured out?
Yeah, I thought that if going into that game, based on everything else that had happened earlier in the day, that if Notre Dame lost, more than likely that's what would have happened. And when you look at the BCS standings right now, with Florida actually being much closer to Georgia than they are to Oregon, certainly the numbers back that up. Now, like I just indicated with Kent State, there was still the possibility that voters could change their ballots in the final week, realizing that, hey, you know, we're looking at another All-SEC championship game if we don't do something to stop it. And as ridiculous as that sounds and as wrong as it would be, wouldn't surprise me if voters had, especially in the Harris poll, mm-hmm. because the BCS is coming to an end next year.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Harris poll voter, I mean, best case, you've got one more season. So if you do something that's wrong and they pull your vote because of it, don't let you vote next year, what's the big deal? So I don't know whether it would have happened or not, but there's no question that the performance that Florida put on a Saturday at Florida State would have made it a lot more difficult for voters to, you know, to rank them too many spots behind Oregon, because certainly they finished the season looking like they, you know, if not one of the best, that they were certainly one of the best one-loss teams, and maybe have an argument for being the best one-loss team.
Brad, let's fast forward 2 years down the road from where we are right now at this point. How does your job change in trying to figure out those top four, and does the scenario change? Is it going to be a committee who selects those four? Do they go on points like the BCS does now? And if the season ended today, there would be three SEC teams in that final four.
Yeah. It will be a selection committee, and they're still discussing the best way to comprise that committee. I think that their idea right now is to make it like the basketball committee, where it's athletic directors and conference commissioners that are making the decisions. I'm starting to hear some talk that they might add a few extra people to the committee and maybe include a couple of former coaches or maybe some former players to get the input from people who know a little bit more about football than they do. But I think it's basically going to be run like the basketball committee is run. And it's certainly going to change my job because, you know, I'll no longer be able to, you know, to predict what's going to happen based on voting patterns in the polls or what the computers are going to do because of schedule strength and things like that. I mean, for at least the first couple of years, I'm guessing like everybody else is. I mean, there are a bunch of people that we really don't know what they're thinking who are in that room, and we'll see what they come up with. I think this year would have been I tell you what, it's going to come out pretty clean from a BCS standpoint. I mean, you've got one eligible undefeated team out there with Notre Dame, and then you've got 2 and 3 playing each other on the final day of the season for the second spot. Nobody's going to argue with that. I mean, those top two. And you look at the other bowls. If Oklahoma wins, if the MAC team doesn't get in, it's pretty simple. I mean, just the whole selection process with the BCS, everybody's taking a team that I think everyone understands it's an obvious pick or the team that deserves to be in there. And it's going to be a perfect scenario for the BCS. But if we had a four-team playoff this year, you know, there'd be numerous questions. First and foremost, who are the four teams, especially who's number four? I think that the SEC champion and Florida would both get in. But then you would have an argument, does the SEC championship game loser deserve a shot at number four? Would it be Oregon? You could make a great argument for Stanford to be in ahead of Oregon, even with the extra loss, because their extra loss is at Notre Dame in overtime on a controversial call. And then what about K-State? You know, there are a lot of things there. And then the committee also has to seed the teams. And there would be argument over should Notre Dame be the number one seed. So, this is going to be a pretty quiet night on Sunday the way I see it. But if it were a four-team committee, we would have a lot to discuss Sunday night and all of next week because there would be a lot of things that they would do that would make various fan bases unhappy.
That kind of leads to my next question for when we do start the playoff. So what you're saying is when you have 1, 2, 3, 4 in the BCS standings, the committee is going to seed them. It's not going to be 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3. They're going to seed them how they see them fit, kind of like the basketball tournament does?
Yeah, that's what they'll do. And right now, there's no plan for there to be any standings, which is going to be a change for everyone. And we'll still have the AP poll, the coaches poll, like we've always had. But those won't have any more bearing on the committee than they do in basketball. We've seen many, many times in basketball that teams are ranked, you know, top two in those polls and don't get a one seed for the basketball tournament because they're looking at different things than the voters are. You know, there's been some discussion. Do they need to put out some sort of, you know, preliminary rankings from the committee, maybe with 3 weeks to go, to give some people an idea of kind of where they stand at that moment? Because it'll be very different from what we're used to. You know, we get that update every Sunday night. Okay, here's where it stands. And you know on a weekly basis, here's who stands in between you and that spot you're trying to get to.
Brad, we're out of time. We appreciate
all right.
It. Great info. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.